So his second criticism is to suggest that this doubting everything is really for fools, right? I mean, that's what he says. He says modern-day followers of Descartes, who say that they will doubt absolutely everything and accept nothing without proof, are really acting foolishly, right? Why? Well, because no one can doubt everything. Right. So, and he tells us to try to experiment and see if you can doubt everything. But of course, if you were to doubt everything, you wouldn't be thinking at all, much less doubting, he says. He says a fundamental set of beliefs is inescapable for everything. So you have to have a fundamental basic set of beliefs. Every person, he says, has a logically basic set of convictions by which he thinks and lives his life.
Right. So people delude themselves when they say that they will not accept anything without proof or demonstration because, you see, they don't prove their foundational principles in the way they think they do. They do have a place for faith in their outlook and in living their lives. I can trust that I have arrived at the I think, therefore I am. I have arrived at a point in time where I know science to be the case. I have arrived at the place where I know that the logic exists within the universe, and I'm able to use it. Well, can you? does your system allow for those things? And are you sure that you're standing on a firm foundation there? When you start challenging something they believe, they say, well, but everybody knows that's true.
Yeah,
all agree on this.
Yeah, we all agree that logic is, you know, right. is the basis of, oh, really? Well, you know, where'd that come from? Right? Why do you hold to that? Why is that acceptable? Mm-hmm. Well, everybody holds to logic. I mean, okay, but the question is why, right?
Right. Right. So, you know, take 500 years away. Everyone believed that God exists. We're just going with that.
Yeah,
So if you won't let us have that, then why should we let you have this? Well, everyone knows this to be the case.
Right.
Let's go back a step further and see, is it true? Like, how do we know these things? What's our starting point that we launch off to allow for everybody to know this to be the case? Of course, when they do that, when you start challenging them and say, well, you know, here's the truth of the matter because you can't live without it or what it might be. When you start doing this, they have just walked into a trap because it's not enough to say that everyone knows this or that. It's how are these things known according and accounted for a in a matter only worldview. So mm-hmm. So this what you see is what you get in the universe. It's all made of stardust, rocket fizz. What you know, we're all space broccoli. You know, pick your delineation of our origin, and all it is matter. Okay, the brain. Well, it's not the brain, but there's chemicals and chemicals spot and fizz and when you're feeling love towards your wife, it's just a chemical reaction, and that's all it is. But to have things like a mind or a universal constants of logic. I mean, those things, how do those things exist in a matter-only world? You know, can we go to the other side of the moon and scoop up the law of non-contradiction and put it into a petri dish and say, yep, there it is.
There it is. Yeah.
Well, how can we rely on that? How can we have a universal concept? When we were talking to Scott Christensen about the universality of stories, why does mankind have this overabundant need to convince each other based in story form? Well, there seems to be more than just that, but here is the other side saying all it is matter, and this is where we have to start with, and it's through that process, the scientific process, that we can only find truth in this matter.
Mm.
Well, how do you account for the thing like science accounts for those things?
Right, right. So the question here in this next section is, what is the reason you know something, right? What's the reason you know something? Everybody, he says, knows that. Okay. But if everybody knows that, then you ought to have a very good reason for the thing that everybody knows, right? And so what is that reason for what you say you know? When so many in the world take it for granted that you can trust, for instance, your senses, unbelievers don't understand it. When we come along and say, on our worldview, why do you trust your senses? Mm-hmm. Right? They have a foundational faith, he tells us, but they think theirs is reasonable. Well, mine is reasonable because everybody trusts their senses, right?
Right.
They know that that we have a foundational faith, but according to them, ours, he tells us, is unreasonable, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. And again, remember what faith is. Faith is trust. Do you have a reason for faith? Well, here's my reasons. I have a spiritual experience that changes me. That could be one factor.
The historicity. I have the Bible that speaks to me right. and you know, enlightens me and tells me what God is doing and right. saying. And
yeah. The facts of it, that Jesus existed, he rose and died. He said these things would occur. They have occurred. All these things add to your level of faith, of trust. And so what you're saying then is, okay, you're trying to account for everything in this matter-only universe, and you're saying that science gets you that way. Well, what basis do you have for that trust? And it seems to be, harkening back to their definition of what faith is, believing something without really knowing it, seems to be the case, because it's like, well, this is just the most useful tool that we have, but we don't really know. And so the standard by which they want you to support all basis seems to be a standard by which has no foundation in of itself either.
Hmm.
And their outlook, their worldview, doesn't account for it. And right. so we'll get into that more.